Good evening, everyone. You are listening to Akashic Wisdom with Donna Fox. I am so glad that you are all out there. I can't tell you how happy I am to be here tonight where you are my guest. It's your questions. It's your inquiries. It's your curiosities about the Akashic Records that I am here to answer for you. Last week, we had Mary Parker on, who is the founder of Akashic Record Consultants International. And the week before that, we had my teacher, Elena Lieberman. And this week, it's me. And next week, we're going to have the president of Akashic Record Consultant, Akashic Record Consultants International, Rosemarie Swanson. She's going to be on our show next week. But you are the guest, as I said. So let me tell you a little bit about the format. Let me tell you a little bit about Akashic Record Consultants International. First of all, if you're curious about Akashic Record Consultants International, we are an organization that trains and certifies Akashic Record Consultants and Akashic Record Teachers. And our website is www.arc-akashicrecords.org. And so take a look at that. There's teachers all over the country, and our dates are up there. My dates for classes are not up yet. I've got some coming up in September. But before we get any farther with that, well, I'll tell you all about that later, I want to explain to you the format for our time together tonight. If you have a question and you would like to talk to me personally, you can do so by calling in at 877-876-5227. That's in the U.S. And in Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And our direct line is 530-876-3222. That's to talk to me directly. If you'd like to email a question for this evening, you certainly can do that. We've got some questions already up here. And you can email me your questions at akashicwisdom@aol.com. That's A-K-A-S-H-I-C, wisdom, W-I-S-D-O-M, at aol.com. My computer is on. I'm right in front of it, and we're ready to go. Okay, so the format tonight is you ask questions, and I have the records open, and I will answer your questions. They can be global. They can be personal. The only thing I try and ask you to stay away from is the question about what's my purpose. Not because it's not a wonderful question, but that's really a question that's really more along the lines of an individual consultation question, because we want to talk about things that are of interest to the general audience, and somehow your purpose may not interest other people. So, our first question up on board is coming from California. And as a matter of privacy, again, if you're going to email me your question, please email me your current legal name and your question, and we will go from there. If you're calling in on the air, you can just give me your first name, and we will go from that, okay, just to protect your privacy. So, our first question from California tonight is, what is my soul's intention in regards to sabotaging myself? I start a lot of things, and I never complete them. How do I release this pattern? She has a couple questions here. She says, what is blocking me from attracting, creating, and accepting and maintaining the prosperity and abundance and success in my life, and how do I release these patterns? And so we're going to actually go into these questions tonight, because I think that they're going to help everyone. And so we are in fact, somebody just emailed me that I haven't heard from for a while, and I just want to say a real special hello to Nancy. Okay, now, we're going to talk to Diva here, and we're going to ask the record keepers to come forward and give us an answer about what her soul's intention is regarding sabotaging herself. So if you just give me a moment, let me just allow the record keepers to slow their vibration down and speed mine up so we can get to an answer on this. Okay. Okay, well, first of all, Diva, the pattern that you have here is it's more than just self-sabotage. There's an actual fear of success. And the interesting thing, what I'm being shown is that your life has been like, they're showing me a graph of ups and downs, so that you kind of get to a certain place, and then, for whatever reason, you fall off, or you don't kind of follow through, which is what you're kind of saying, and the success isn't there for you. And what this is, the core issue is here, it has to do with your fear of success. And the fear here is more around the fear of the responsibility of maintaining the success. So I want you just to consider that it's about the maintaining of the success. It's also, there's a part of you that is afraid to be seen. It's not the outgoing part of you. It's the little girl part of you, or the part of you, again, the word imposter comes forward, where you feel like if you're really out there, people will see who you are, and you have a belief, and it has nothing to do with logic, and it has nothing to do with truth, that there's something that you are afraid for people to see about you for fear that they won't like you or they won't approve of you. And so it's those kinds of issues we're dealing with here. Now, from a coaching point of view, what you want to do is you want to journal out these issues for yourself and then move into a space of surrender and opening to allow yourself to realize that it's one step at a time. See, there, again, I wish I had you on the phone because there's so much more that I could actually get from the vibrations of your voice. But for the time being, this is where we're at right now. It's about you going deeper in, journaling out. Like they're showing me a list. It's about basically making a list of all the things that you are unhappy with yourself about, and taking each one of those pieces and doing a forgiveness statement around them. So, for example, it's about really allowing yourself to move into what you, I don't want to say don't like about yourself, but are disappointed in yourself about. See, what's going on here is that there's so many things that you've let yourself down with, and the fear is you'll never be able to make it up to yourself or to the divine, and that's simply not true. And so what the most important piece here has to do with you moving into a state of total forgiveness of the areas of your life that are blocking you from moving into your own divinity. So it's really about dealing with the areas that you feel are shameful. Again, has nothing to do with truth. It has to do with what your belief systems and perceptions are. So what I would recommend is that you go ahead and give that a try, and give me a call another time, because this is also, it's the same situation with attracting and maintaining prosperity and abundance. I'm just going to make a comment here. I'm currently doing a teleseminar on prosperity and abundance, the 6-week course. And one of the exercises that came forward from the records, now what happens is that the participants in these 6 weeks, each one of their individual Akashic records are opened for the sake of the teleseminar, and then as we move into it, so I open their records prior to the work, so that we can get at the core issues of that group. There's another one of there's another series going to be starting in September. So if this is of interest to anyone, please, you know, email me and let me know this is something you'd like to know, have more information about. But what I want to tell you is one of the exercises that came forward was very interesting. And by the way, this is for the seminar series here. Was for people, you didn't have to know how to open up your own personal Akashic records. If you did know how, that's great because you could open your records ahead of time and get an even deeper read from this. But this is for people, and so that's why I want to share it with you folks. It was an exercise where you went deep into your own personal center and asked the divine, asked spirit, and if you knew how to work with your own records, ask the record keepers to move in and to actually, it was a closed eye meditation actually that worked with having a movie screen, a television screen or a large movie screen appear before you in a very safe space where you were then held in the arms of an angel, and you, what was played for you was the core issues of your beliefs around money and prosperity and what you learned as a child that moved you into the space where you are now, or as well as the beliefs you were working up under that kept you trapped in your current money belief, if you will, your relationship with money. Now, what's important to understand is that whether you're a holistic healer or whether you're a person who just wants to be able to find their passion and move into their right livelihood, or whatever your situation is, or even if you're in a job and you want to understand how to manifest more dollars for yourself, whatever you're doing or you want to do needs to be done from a point of view of surrender. And I know that's an interesting word, but what the record keepers are saying is that dollars and abundance and prosperity are, and as many of you know, it's been all over the internet and classes and things, that that money is just another form of energy. And so that when you are an energetic match to this, then you can bring forth and manifest whatever you want. And what I would like to just share with you folks out there is that I'd like you just to consider how many times you manifest parking places. Now, I have a good time with this. I mean, my husband just marvels at the fact that we, no matter where we go, there's always a parking space waiting for me. He doesn't know how I do it. I just do it. Why? Because I just know it's going to be there. I see it in my mind, and I just know it's going to be there. Now, if we can, and if you can, manifest parking places easily, and I know there's a lot of you out there that are smiling to yourself because you do it all the time. If you can do this, if you can manifest parking places, you can manifest prosperity and abundance. It's the same principle. Because what happens is you align yourself to that vibrational match and it happens. So what happens from this, from parking places, is you think, oh, it's easy. I can easily do that. No problem. I can easily do that, but I can't manifest the extra dollars I want. The reason why you can't manifest those extra dollars and you feel like you're in self-sabotage is because there's an underlying belief that's at play that's playing, that's creating a vibrational unmatch. It's a vibrational disturbance, if you will. So that at one point you're saying, I want this, and you're clear about what you want, and yet there's an undercurrent that says you can't get it, or you shouldn't have it, or it's a belief about money or rich people, or etc. That's playing. And it's those underlying cores that need to be brought forward into the light and really looked at, and quite frankly, it can happen easily, but because there's so many layers, and again, what the record keepers are showing me, there's so many layers of blankets, if you will. There's so many layers of old stuff over there that sometimes it's harder for some people than others to get at those core issues. And so it's really a matter of forgiving yourself on a regular basis, on a daily basis, if you will, on a moment-to-moment basis, that would really move you into a space of surrender and receiving. The biggest issue in our lives is that we have grown up thinking that we've done something wrong. I don't know why humans are wired that way. That's just kind of a choice of experience in planet Earth that we try to release. But we come in, and the good majority of us are raised thinking that we've done something wrong for being here. And quite frankly, there's many religions that have taught that, you know, with original sin, etc., that say that there's something wrong with us from the very beginning, and that we are flawed. And so we set out to prove them right. And so we start gathering information at an early age to prove that our authority figures are right, that we are flawed. And we do a very good job of that. We're very good at gathering, confirming information that there's something wrong with us. Now, as we become more sensitive to light and energy, it would be very helpful if, in fact, you guys, or me too, I mean, we're all in this together, believe me, we're all works in progress, if we were to start to gather information about what is right with us rather than what is wrong with us. And so I'm being told to recommend that we begin to create a documentation of not only the parts that we don't like that we want to say a forgiveness piece around, but also to create a list of the things we like about ourselves that add to the knowledge, if you will, that we're really okay and that we are lovable and that we do know what we're doing. Because we do not have to flounder. Okay, so at this point, I'm going to open up the lines. If there's anybody who would like to call and make a comment on that, you have an 800 number. And let me see. Let me get those numbers for you again. If you're in the U.S., you can dial. I'm going to get those numbers right here. They're right here. If you dial 877-876-5227. If you're in Canada, dial 888-815-9756, or you can dial direct if you're out of the country at 01, that's the country, our country code, 530-876-3222. And just for your own information, those are not rollover numbers, so if you call and it's busy, it's not like you've got a lot of people waiting, it's just as soon as that person's off the line, that line will free up. Okay, so now we have another question. And Diva, I would strongly recommend that you give me a call so we can go deeper into your own issues and I can hear your voice. It really helps if I can hear you, okay? The next question we have here is a question about not having a passion for life. And what would be my highest choice to change that before it is too late? That's a very interesting question. So the question is, what is my soul's intention for not having a passion for life? So please, record keepers, can you please answer this question for this wonderful being of light that's asking here? Is there a caller on the line?
Yes.
Hi there.
Hi, my name is Joan.
Hi, Joan.
I am so glad I'm listening to your program. Please help me, if you can.
If I can.
A very dear friend of ours has a daughter who has been in serious medical difficulties for about a week and a half, and now they're thinking about turning off the respirator.
Uh-huh.
How can we manifest, or can you tell me, can we manifest changes to affect the physiology of her body and take out the harmful and put in healthy?
It's interesting. Normally don't get a lot about this, but I have a very deep sense there's something coming on this. What is her first name, Joan?
Casey, K-A-S-E-Y.
And what illness does she currently have? What's the issue?
Her organs are failing. It started with the most severe type of pneumonia anyone can get because of medical allergies and asthma that she's had since a child. She's had very high fevers. They induced a coma in her. While the coma was induced, the 24-week baby just slipped out because her body could no longer sustain the pregnancy and try to sustain her own life. And now her organs, they tell her organs have failed. They tell her, my friend, that her brain has flatlined. I know we can affect changes. Can you help me? Can you tell me?
Well, first of all, it's one of the most important pieces here. Is to move into a state of total acceptance and love of her process. Now, that's not to give up hope. That's to be able to support her in her process. Now, the picture that I'm being shown is, from what I understand, this may be a little bit challenging, but I think you can do it, is having at least three people around this lovely being's bed and taking turns expressing your love for her and not allowing any information that would be detrimental or disturbing to be with her. This, again, are you at all familiar with what happened when Shelley Yates helped her son back to life with
yes.
the firing of the grid?
Yes, I am very familiar with it.
Okay, that's what's coming here. What's coming here is that this may be a situation like that. At the same time, you need to honor her process. Because she can't speak to you, is that correct? Right now,
All right.
So you must honor her process, however, and know that she is doing exactly what she needs to do
yes.
at this time.
Yes.
Okay. And so the honoring must be there. The reason for the circle of love is to let her know. Number one, how much she's loved on the planet, so that should she decide to stay, she knows she's going to stay with love. At the same time, should she decide to leave, that she's leaving from love to love.
Right.
Now, remember that this is not about control.
No.
This is all about love, And it's all about expressing what's highest within you and honoring what's highest within her. Now, there's a greater lesson here, Joan. There's a greater overview, if you will. The overview here has to do with it has to do with people in her family appreciate, as and family is a it's a broad term because it's not just biological family. They're talking about her sphere of influence, the people around her, her human family, if you will. Okay, not just her biological family. It's really about this situation affecting every person that knows her or of her and her journey. It's almost like she is moving into a state of grace in order for everyone around her to value their space on this planet more dearly. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, totally.
It's like this is the gift she's giving you, and you know, should she decide to leave, so be it. But as long as you've done whatever you can do to let her know how much she's loved, that's the key. That's the key here, and to only Joan. I mean, only Casey can create her own miracle here. Does that make sense to you? What's happening here is that there were some issues that created a desire to leave the planet because of a lack of love of situation where there was great despair within her. Is that correct?
No. She was... maybe on an unconscious level.
Yeah,
she was
exactly.
Very happy on a conscious level.
Well, but there was some kind of readiness to move into a different space. This woman has a higher purpose, a much higher purpose than we could possibly know.
I'm sure.
Okay, and so it's not so much the despair. It may not have even been about her own life. It might have been about something else. I'm just telling you what I'm hearing.
Yes.
And again, you know, this is coming without having her current legal name. It's without having your legal name. It's kind of third party information. So it's kind of like a view from 40,000 feet rather than right up close. Does that make sense to you?
Want her legal name and my legal name? Would that make
not on the air? No, I don't want to do that on the air, darling, because that's not appropriate. Okay, this is a recorded program, and for your privacy, we'd rather not do that.
Now her family has decided to allow the doctors to disconnect the respirator.
Uh-huh.
I am a member of a group on beliefness. I am forming an intentional healing prayer for Casey, and I'm asking others to concentrate and join with me in sending this out through our own brain frequencies, through the
women that
we all are.
So we can do that right now. We can ask anyone who is listening, all right, to please align and send light and love to Casey. Is that what you want?
Yes.
Okay. And to support her in what her soul deeply wants for herself in this lifetime. Because that's the only thing we can ask of her. Or ask of ourselves to help her. Does that make sense to you, Joan?
Yes, it does. I'd like to ask you another question. I've done healing on myself first of all, you know we all have visions.
Right.
And I saw myself surrounded by black.
Okay.
So I went in to surround myself by white, but the black was so firmly around me, it would not move. The white could not get in. So I formed conduits in my mind and put them into the black to allow the black to be sucked out, and then surrounded myself with white. Do you think something like this might be helpful with Casey? Could we do it as a group?
Well, the interesting thing about what you were saying is it's really more about everyone imagining themselves holding the light, like holding up a candle. It's like the darkness is just the, in this particular case, is just the absence of light. And one of the recommendations is, if that vision should happen to you again, they're suggesting that you imagine holding a lighter, just to flick a lighter on.
Mm.
It's a very simple exercise. It's about rather than resisting the dark, it's about allowing the light. Do you understand the concept here?
Yes, I do. I'm just wondering how I was able to manifest that for myself the way I did.
You did fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did okay, but it took a lot of work, whereas all the record keepers are saying is it doesn't have to be that hard.
Okay.
There was as soon as we see something that, let's say, puts us in a state of dread or not sure, or we begin to tell ourselves a story about it rather than to surrender to the fact that it just is, and if you walk into a dark room, the easiest thing to do is to flick on a light. If your electricity goes out, you go for a lighter, match, or a candle. It's not like you're afraid anymore. It's like, oh, well, the electricity went out, so let me just find something to light. So it's really about releasing the fear there's like a resistance to the dark. It's just about allowing the light.
Uh-huh.
It's a shift of energy. Like, oh, this is dark. What do I need to know about this dark? Well, I'll find out about that, but let me get the light on first before I can understand.
So would the light have to be physically manifested around Casey by her family members who have already made this decision to allow her to go? Could we as a group collectively...
You could visualize holding a light. Just visualize holding the light.
Holding the light and send it to Casey.
Exactly. And now here are the different visions that are coming about what kind of light you can hold. A person could imagine holding a candle up. A person could imagine many lighters. Like, do you ever see a concert where the kids flick the lighters on in the dark for the rock groups?
Yeah.
You could visualize that. You could visualize little angels holding balls of light, or humans creating balls of light, holding those balls of light and allowing those balls of light to connect and move into the space around Casey.
And what was your last word? Pull into?
They would hold a ball of light, B-A-L-L, ball of light.
Yes.
And allow the balls of light to move into the space around Casey, like within her aura, within her space, and it's all a visualization.
Yes.
As well as light around her family. You know, there's great sadness here. It's agonizing.
There is immense sadness. Yeah. She was very loved.
It's agonizing to have to make the decision to pull the plug. It's agonizing.
They do feel they're doing what's best for her because her organs have shut down and damage has been done to the body, and they're concerned that she could not come back on a cellular level, which would make her life what she would want it to be.
Right.
You know, I feel so conflicted, but I have to try.
Of course you have to try, and it's what was said before. Allow it to be. Allow it to be. And whatever Casey wants to do, Casey will do.
So it would be a process of bringing light in simultaneously while honoring her process and allowing her to make the choice.
And sending love.
And sending love.
Right.
Right.
And none of this is forced. All of this is about allowing. It's about allowing the light to flow. It's about bringing forth the light and literally standing in light yourself. And if you'd like to, you can even put light columns all around her bed. And that's just by a visualization of the light columns. And she will do what is for the highest for her.
Yes.
There comes a time where we can only do what physically, we as humans are limited.
Yes.
But the spirit is unlimited. I mean, the physical body is limited. That's just the way we're wired. But the spirit within us is unlimited.
Yes, I do know that.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm attempting this.
Sure.
A lot of times that I have.
But it's really, your intention is born out of love. And
yes,
it's not about
total love.
It's really important that you get clear that this intention is born out of love, not making anybody wrong.
I'm making notes.
Okay. But you get that?
Yes.
It's not about making her family wrong for whatever the decisions is. Their decisions are. It's
yes.
Really about bringing in light and love and honoring the whole process.
Oh, dear, that just brought another thought into mind.
Mm-hmm.
Would this affect her family adversely if I do not phrase it just right?
If you don't what?
If I do not phrase my request just right, because
no.
Will be going out over the Internet to my group, and she will eventually be reading it, the mother.
Here's what you want to do, is you want to be able to create the message from the deepest part of love that you know in honoring Casey's process. To allow Casey the light that she needs to do that which is for her highest of what she needs to do.
Right.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Because you don't want to, her family is going through enough right now. You don't want to throw more guilt.
Oh,
about,
no, that's exactly.
That's not it at all.
What was on my mind.
Right, right, right.
I thank you for your assistance.
Oh, my pleasure. I hope this has been helpful.
Thank you very much.
All right, thanks for listening, and I'm glad that you tuned in tonight. I'm glad the Record Keepers could be of help to you.
Thank you. Namaste.
Thank you. Namaste. Well, isn't that wonderful? We want to send light and love and total acceptance and honor to our wonderful being, our wonderful light friend named Casey. And if you would all just take a moment and hold her in the highest form of light and love. For as we send light, we receive light. As we allow light, we are light. For that is who we are. That is who we have always been and who we will always be. For we come from light, we live as light, and we go back to light. Namaste. Blessings to you, Joan, for loving her so deeply. And blessings to Casey's family on this road of light. Okay, so we have
Lois
a few more. Hello? Somebody here?
Donna?
Yes.
This is Elena.
Hey, Elena. How are you?
I'm listening to what we're going to turn down the internet. I agree with what you're telling this woman. I just want to reaffirm what you're telling her.
Thank you.
And that if her group can physically go and unconditionally tell Casey how she is loved.
Right.
Actually go there, if the parents will let them go, her spirit will hear that. Never presume if a person's in a coma that they don't hear it. They do hear it.
Right, right.
And if the love, when they tell her, they can go if they can go close to her ear,
right,
and tell her how much they love her with only positive, only the light you're talking about. They hold her in the light, but they speak how
right.
much they love her unconditionally, no matter what she chooses.
Right.
That is very real.
Yes.
And if there's whoever the immediate people are in the circle, that is very real to that soul, and that person and soul hears all of it. And they will make the right decision for what the higher realms have decided and Casey has decided.
Right.
Was I understanding it that she has a baby who's living?
No, she lost the child.
She
lost the child. Because from what I understood from Joan is that she couldn't hold the child, that the child needed to slip away.
I see.
Uh-huh. And that's the way the record keepers were starting out, is that people needed to actually circle her bed.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. And be with her and talk of her only of the positive things and only of light and only
kind
of love.
No matter what she does, they just love her.
Exactly.
And to tell her anything she does, they love. And realize that she's listening. She can
yes.
hear them. She can't respond in a way we understand, but she's there listening. She hears everything.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, and that's why it was brought up about the lady Shelley Yates who helped her son the same way, and so this was, and evidently Joan has an internet group of people on a thing called BeliefNet that will also lend their light. Now, if they're BeliefNet people, that means that they personally can't be there. They can only send their light. But it would be helpful, I agree, that Joan get however many can be allowed to be there on a regular basis to
mm-hmm.
just send light to Casey and
mm-hmm.
to whisper the light and love.
Mm-hmm. And
to her.
She has to hear only positive and only how much she's loved.
Exactly, and so if there's needs discussion around her condition or anything that may even appear to be negative, it needs to be away from her hearing,
mm-hmm.
and it also needs and so any crying needs to be away from her hearing, away from her thing. It's only love that needs to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I agree, absolutely,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
So yes, it was very powerful what she was asking.
It was.
Yeah.
It was very powerful.
I was wondering if you'd share with the audience how the records work, how you feel the records work has brought abundance into your life.
Oh, that's great. Wow, sure. That's a great question. My work with the records has shown me time after time a level of trust I never knew before. And what's interesting is when I surrender to that trust and I open myself to the knowledge, truly the knowledge that all things are possible, things show up that I couldn't possibly do on my own. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, yes. Are you getting feedback if we have it on the computer across the room?
No, I can't hear it.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
And so for me, it's the what the records have shown me is when I work, and I actually will be shown the number of people that are going to be in the workshop. I'll actually be shown that. And when I try to push that river and add more, it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, could you get a few more there? Doesn't work. But they will show me, and I will literally feel what it feels like to be in the room with the amount of students that will be there for a class.
Well, this is what you're saying is very interesting, Donna, because in many schools of thought on abundance, they speak of having you feel your outcome.
Right.
You feel it, like look at your hands and actually feel it, or feel what you're describing. Feel how many people will be around you. Feel what the room is like. And that truly, they're showing you manifestation.
Right.
Only it seems like it's coming from another level. But when we work on manifesting, that also is coming from another level. They're asking that to become one and the same, what you're being shown and what you're striving for.
Right.
So this is an exercise in abundance.
Yes.
That you work with what is being brought forward in addition to the fact that that's your objective. Your objective is to have the richest experience with that number of students, and that's the next step of your abundance.
Right.
So I find what you're saying very interesting.
Yeah, and see, the other thing is, what has come to me when working with the records is that they have given me the phrase, show me what it would feel like if I were to.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, so again, show me what it would feel like if I were to. And so I have used that with students where we say, show me what it would feel like if I were to work in my right livelihood. Show me what it would feel like if I were to live and move in prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
Or show me, and this that statement kind of came out of trying to figure out where to have an advanced class with Mary and Ed. Actually.
Oh.
And so, yeah, it's like I was trying to decide whether I should have the workshop at a retreat center or if I should have it at a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept asking the question I was asking, I wasn't getting an answer, and I finally got very frustrated and says, I don't know how to ask this. I don't know what to say. And I was talking to the record keepers, and you know, and their magnificence. They just gently said to me, "Would you like to know how it would feel?"
Ah, I see.
And I went, oh, yes, I would. I would like to know. And there was like that. So from that is the way that I have learned from the records to make decisions about certain things. And what's interesting about that is that this is one of the first times I ever went to California. I got real clear that I was going to be there for like 9 or 10 days, and I didn't want to stay in a hotel. And I kept feeling that I was going to, I wanted to be in an apartment, but I didn't know. I was in Santa Monica. I had no idea how to manifest that because I didn't know the area. It's not like there you can find an apartment, but that's exactly what happened. What's exactly what happened is I was driving around. I didn't know where I was staying that night. I had no reservations.
Oh, goodness.
Okay, and I was planning a class the following weekend, and I had no place to stay. Went there totally on trust. All right, and I'm driving around, and I literally came upon a hotel motel that was a converted apartment complex. So it was literally a one bedroom apartment. It had a full kitchen, a dining room, a living room, a separate bedroom, and at the price that I could afford.
That's amazing.
Wasn't it amazing? I mean, and I am in total awe. And things like that have happened to me time and time again, that once I got into a real clarity about what I wanted, it just showed up. The issue that blocks me sometimes, and where I have, and I think everyone has, the challenge is that, you know, I'm so in awe when it happens, I try to push the river to make it happen rather than allowing it to happen.
Uh huh.
And that's where I goof up.
Oh, that's really something.
Yeah. And that's what's happened with all the expos I've ever done, et cetera, is that I'll get a vibrational match and I'll know where I have to go or what I have to do. So,
well, that's wonderful. I mean, it's very important that you share these various steps in abundance, because people really need to know how they can trust to really build into a whole new level that sustains them day after day.
The other thing that's important is that it's what I was saying earlier, if you were listening, is that when you try to push the river, you have these underlying beliefs that you're operating under that actually pull you down, and you consciously think you have one belief, but if you're operating from an assumption or a belief that you received as a child, or information you received as a child from about how money works or what happens with money, if that underlying piece can actually pull you down, because it creates a negative vibration that interferes with the vibrational match.
Yes, it's masked or concealed from view.
Mm-hmm.
And when you know that money is, your use of money is really good, used for the good, it flows the good out.
Right.
And into you and out from you. It's a flow of goodness.
Right.
Yes.
And so that's why when I was doing this teleconference with the folks, creating the screen and allowing, for people to know how to open their records, you ask the record keepers to create the screen and a safe space for you to watch it with whatever wonderful being you want to watch with it, that creates the light around you for safety.
Yes.
And you allow that screen to come up, and just allow it to play, and doesn't have to have emotion to it. Again, as you well know, when you work in the records, there's little or no emotion, so that you can work with highly charged things without having to go through the pain of it. So the idea here is, when the screen comes up, you move into watching the movie of your life, if you will,
uh-huh,
and the core issues that pop up. I mean, it was a fascinating thing that we did on the phone with the group, and with the group share afterwards was very telling about what their core issues were, so they could then go from that workshop on the telephone and move into their own work that they had to do to clear it for the following week. And they've been experiencing some very good success from it.
Well, very good. Well, I'll let you go. Thank you for speaking to me this evening.
Oh, no, thank you for calling in. No, thank you for calling in, and thank you for sharing. For those people who don't know Elena, this is my wonderful teacher, Elena Lieberman, who I am honored to call my friend also.
I'm honored to call you. Ronnie is going to ask you a question.
Oh, and we've got to get Ronnie back on, so I've got to talk to her offline to find out when she's coming back.
Okay,
yes, Ronnie,
she's going to come on the line right now.
Okay, because I only have about two more minutes left, and I've got to go. They're going to get me off of here.
I just want to let you know, it was a fabulous show last week with Mary Parker. I enjoyed it.
It was, wasn't it?
You did a wonderful job, Donna.
Thank you
so much. It was great.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And for those people who don't know who I'm talking to, this is Ronnie Reisler, and Ronnie Reisler does wonderful soul mandalas from the Akashic Records. And so, again, Ronnie's information, Elena's information, my information is all up on the ARC website, and it's arc-akashicrecords.org. You've got to take a look at that. So, Ronnie, we got to get talk offline. We'll get you back on the show.
Okay. I'd love it.
I'd love it, too.
Wonderful job, Donna. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for listening, you guys. Appreciate
it. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye. Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, it's coming to time for us to close. We have to stop this wonderful program, but it's wonderful because of your energy out there. You see, all of you wonderful beings of light that are listening, it's your curiosities, it's your inquiries, and it's your energies that bring this program to the level that it is. So I want to tell you how much I love and appreciate each and every one of you that has been listening to Akashic Wisdom, that continues to listen to Akashic Wisdom, that supports Akashic Wisdom, and that donates to Akashic Wisdom. There's a little donation piece there on the web that if you like this program and would like to make sure that it stays on, you can certainly donate to it. And know that your light is what's most important. Always shine your light. And so for this week, we want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones of the Akasha for all their wonderful information. And with that, we close the records of the Akashic Wisdom Show by saying, amen, amen, amen. The records of this show is now closed, and may you all look into the mirror and see into the heart of the divine. Thank you, everyone. Remember how deeply you are loved. Talk to you next week when Rosemary Swanson's on the radio with me. Bye-bye.
Hi.